This is Jadon Mickens, wide receiver from the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you are locked on Jaguars. Duval!
Good morning, good evening, good night, depending on where you're listening to this podcast. This is another edition of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Chris Thornton, a local season ticket holder, Jacksonville native. And we're now a few days separated, I guess, post free agency surge, and it's kind of given everybody a little bit of time to look at the news and everything that the Jags have done, and I'll get into that. But first, this episode is sponsored by Grip 6 Belts, built to wear, not to wear out. Use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off. Nice, sleek, elegant belts. Good if you have a heavy set as well. A lot of belts tend to not be able to do the job comfortably, at least, but they look good and they feel good. So, Grip 6 Belts, promo code LOCKED to get 20% off. Diving right into it, the Jaguars were a lot busier than people anticipated for this 2018 free agency period. A lot of people, myself included, were thinking probably tag A-Rob and maybe a few wave two or three free agents. And instead, the Jaguars kind of shocked the world, let Allen Robinson walk, who signed a three-year deal with the Chicago Bears. So Allen Robinson is a Bear. The Allen Bros are no more. Sad sight, but it's a business. We all got to move on. But they did, in the first day of tampering, make a big splash and announce that they've agreed to a deal with left guard Andrew Norwell to a five-year, $66.5 million deal. Norwell in 2017 with the Carolina Panthers allowed no hits or sacks on Cam Newton and had an 88.8 grade on Pro Football Focus. So the Jaguars get a mauler at 6'6", mid-320s for their left guard to solidify that left spot, now having Cam Robinson, Andrew Norwell, and Brandon Linder. We'll see if they decide to go right guard in the draft or if they roll with Can or somebody else and then Parnell out right tackle. I don't anticipate Parnell being gone. Can might be, but he's still on his rookie deal, so they might keep him for cheap depth. The Jaguars continue to keep going. They went back in-house and re-signed wide receiver Marquise Lee to a four-year, $34 million deal, which rubbed some people the wrong way because they weren't able to keep A-Rob. But Lee has gotten better every year he's been in the league. He used to be referred to as the albino tiger from his coaches due to his rarity and being at camps for being hurt. But it was a team-friendly deal. I think both sides win in it. Obviously, Lee weighed his options. He said he had several suitors to bid on him, and he ended up thinking that Jacksonville was the best spot. So it's nice to know that Jacksonville can actually be a better spot than other places now, which is reassuring. He then came out to say that his mom actually cried when he told her that she was staying in Jacksonville. Tears of joy, not tears of sadness like in the past. And brought back wide receiver Shane Wynn, details unknown on that contract. They brought back edge linebacker, defensive end, Swiss Army knife of the defense, Lorente McCray, to a two-year, $4.75 million deal. And that just gives the Jaguars a little bit of depth. McCray played decently well when he was on the field, especially if he does end up playing that outside linebacker spot in the wake of veteran linebacker Paul Posluszny announcing his retirement this past week. So the Jaguars now have a kind of hole to fill on in the linebacker position if they do not want to roll with now second-year linebacker Blair Brown. They can either, I think they have a pretty reasonable, I don't want to say reasonable dilemma, but Miles Jack is versatile enough to where if you want to draft a middle linebacker, you can keep Miles Jack outside. Or you can put Miles Jack inside and draft an outside linebacker. I think he gives you that flexibility to be able to plug and chug somebody into that defense, whatever you think fits best or best available player, which is really good for the Jaguars. I know a linebacker a lot of people want is Shaquem Griffin, and I think at the right price, Shaquem would fit well in this scheme. His speed is definitely would be nice to add to this defense to make it even faster in the linebacker spot, already one of the faster linebacker positions in the league, if not the fastest. So Shaquem Griffin, Miles Jack, Telvin Smith would be a fast, scary linebacker duo to shore up that middle spot, and along with the best cornerback tandem in the NFL, not Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib, but Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye. And then that Saxonville D-line, which remains completely intact for the most part. I don't think they lost anybody in free agency, so that's good. In the secondary, the Jaguars did lose nickel cornerback Aaron Colvin to the rival Houston Texans on a 4-year, $38 million deal. Colvin and the Jaguars were close to an agreement. The Jaguars were almost there, but I think Colvin wanted to go to Houston to play outside, maybe even take A.J. Bouye's spot now that he's a Jaguar, which I wish all the best to Aaron Colvin. He did his role beautifully here in Jacksonville, and wish him nothing but the best, except for when we're playing him on Sundays. And I hope Marquise Lee and now new wide receiver Dante Moncrief, who the Jaguars signed from the rival Indianapolis Colts. Moncrief came over on a 1-year, $7 million prove-it deal, which Moncrief was very adamant and open about in his press conference with the Jaguars. He's willing to bet it all on himself, and I'm wishing nothing but the best for him, because Moncrief is a really good receiver if he can stay healthy and play to his ceiling. Moncrief, former first-round pick for the Colts, had his career kind of, I mean, he kind of had a fight for the number one spot with T.Y. Hilton, and then plus with the quarterback carousel in Indianapolis with franchise quarterback Andrew Luck getting hurt, Moncrief kind of got overlooked, but he did still have some splash plays against the Jaguars and other teams around the NFL, so it'll be interesting to see what his role is here in Jacksonville. I hope they really consider give him number one and two reps, because I think that's where he will shine the most. It'll probably be Dante Moncrief at the one spot, Marquise Lee either at the two spot or the slot. He seems to work slot, and then maybe Keelan Cole or D.D. Westbrook. The Jaguars have a flux of wide receiver talent, and I'm not sure what they're going to do with it all. Maybe rotate guys out a lot to keep them fresh and keep them healthy for the whole year. That might be my best bet. I like having healthy receivers, because last year, Jags fans know that wide receiver got very thin. First with Allen Robinson obviously tearing his ACL in game one of Houston, losing him for the year. Then as the year went on, Allen Hurns got hurt, Marquise Lee got hurt, which led to the emergence of rookies. Keelan Cole, D.D. Westbrook, Jadon Mickens, they all came out and shined, and I think earned themselves roster spots for next season. D.D. Westbrook obviously being a fourth round pick, so he was probably safe, but Keelan Cole, a guy that I liked in training camp, he was really flashing with long balls and stuff like that. Ended up, I think, finishing the season with around 700 yards, primarily all coming in the last half of the season with Blake Bortles' December run, which was pretty remarkable. And then Jadon Mickens, the explosive punt returner, who we had on the show a few weeks ago. If you missed that, be sure to check out iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all those good sites to find that Jadon Mickens interview. It was really good. He talked about his role. He talked about what he liked in Jacksonville. Coach Keenan McCardell, how he did in his first year with the Jaguars and this young receivers group. But moving down the list, the Jaguars also signed tight end Niles Paul to a 2-year, $4.75 million deal. Relatively low cap number. I think Paul is going to be brought back or brought in to be more of a backup tight end role. And special teams. I think special teams is where he's really going to find a niche. The Jaguars really overhauled the special teams unit. I think Joe DeCamillis probably had a wish list for guys that he wanted to Dave Caldwell and Tom Coughlin. And it looks like they went out and got him, because another sign that the Jaguars had was free safety / special teamers Cody Davis from the Los Angeles Rams over on a 2-year, $2.5 million deal. Caldwell deemed him the best special teams player in the NFL, so that's some pretty high regards for a guy coming over just for special teams. And he plays free safety as well, so he'll probably be a backup safety guys are probably on the way out on the current roster. But Cody Davis being one of the signings, another one is the return of Don Carey to Jacksonville, who started his career here in Jacksonville. Really kind of kickstarted it here. He is a strong safety, but will also be brought over for special teams help from the Detroit Lions. He played fairly well over there. He brings a really good attitude to this locker room. If you didn't listen to his press conference, it's on Jaguars.com. I really recommend it. He kind of has a Donovan Darius type vibe with me, just his professionalism and how he feel, how what he does on and off the field and what he does for the community. I think he's going to be really popular again here in Jacksonville. Already he's popular with me. The Jaguars made another tight end signing in kind of a late surge in free agency, about late day two, in signing former Jets tight end Austin Seferian Jenkins to a 2-year, $10 million deal. Fairly cap-friendly, but Jenkins in 2017 flashed the potential, especially against the Jaguars for the Jets last year, as a receiving tight end, something that the Jags fans were wondering that if the team would address in free agency with a guy like Trey Burton or Tyler Eifert, maybe even Jimmy Graham, or go to the draft, which I still think is a very plausible choice for the Jaguars to do in that with that 129 pick. But Austin Seferian Jenkins comes over, he visits the Seattle Seahawks, leaves without a deal, comes to Jacksonville, they lock him up. So they shore up that tight end group, so now you got Mercedes Lewis, Austin Seferian Jenkins, Ben Koyak, guys like that. I think they'll draft a rookie still early. For me, Austin Seferian Jenkins has that potential to be a very good tight end in this league, and maybe will be the heir to Mercedes Lewis's throne, while the Jags still draft a good rookie tight end to develop and not have to start right away, which I think is the best move, because historically, if you look back, rookie tight ends don't nearly have as much production as their veteran counterparts. So having a guy like Mike Gesicki or Hayden Hurst or Dallas Goedert sit behind Austin Seferian Jenkins and Mercedes Lewis, I think for a year or two, would be really beneficial for both the player's career and the Jaguars in terms of production. So, really good signing. I was a fan of that. The Jaguars then signed cornerback DJ Hayden from the Detroit Lions, former Raiders and Lions cornerback, to a 3-year, $19 million deal, which led some people to be skeptical a little bit. They wondered, why didn't you just give Colvin the money? But Hayden, I think, although he doesn't have a whole lot of slot experience, could flourish in that slot spot. Or that nickel spot, I should say, in this Jaguars secondary, because he hasn't played in a secondary as good as this one. If you didn't read it, our writer, Philip, did a whole article on DJ Hayden, and I highly recommend it to check it out. It has some GIFs, some insights, some stats, everything you need to know about DJ Hayden and how he fits with this Jacksonville Jaguars secondary. You can find that on LockedOnJaguars.com as well. And looking at this free agency class, kind of a step back, if you will, the Jaguars really got a few big name guys, but they got a lot of depth and special teams. And I think that's what kind of confused people. I personally love this class. I give it probably a solid B plus to an A minus. Andrew Norwell alone blowing the whole class away. But the Jaguars really addressed a special teams unit that I think really needed addressing. We saw in the Rams game how they let up 14 points, and that ultimately decides the game in favor of the Rams and takes another dub away from the Jaguars at home, which would have given them, I think, 5 out of 6 at home if you're not including London. But I've never been more excited to see a special teams unit, especially with finally having a kicker this past year, Josh Lambeau. Just the coverage should be better. It'll be interesting to see them fighting for roster spots in camp. Joe DeCamillis has really seemed to turn this unit around, even though they weren't as good this year as we were anticipating. They were drastically better than the year before, I believe. I also believe that veteran punter Brad Nortman is going to be out the door. I think his future here is limited, and in the past, Joe DeCamillis has gotten rid of veteran punters and brought in or drafted younger, cheaper options, because I feel like the punter position is one that you can somewhat easily turn over. Obviously, you have elite punters in this league, but if you're not in that elite tier, like that top five, I believe your position is not, I'm not saying invaluable, because a punter can drastically change a game. Special teams in general can. But I think if you can find a cheaper option that is equal, if not better, than what you have, you got to make that move. Granted, Brad Nordman's cap hit is only like $2.3 million this season, but that's a lot to be paying a punter who, in my opinion, struggled last year. Was hot and cold for most of the year. Maybe because he wasn't used to not punting as much, but ultimately, I like a guy like Johnny Townsend out of Florida at the end of the draft, seventh round. To replace Brad Nordman, you can get him on that very cheap seventh round rookie contract. And Townsend, in my opinion, might have a better leg than Brad Nordman. And that kind of will segue us into our next segment in a moment after this break from one of our sponsors. Now looking after free agency and all, we don't have all of the contract numbers per spot rack or over the cap. We still have a few guys like Don Carey, Shane Wynn, who don't have their numbers out there. So I'm estimating the Jags, as it stands right now, not counting those contracts, the Jags have around $10 million in cap space for their top 51. These guys, I don't anticipate having big contracts, so I'm gonna give us a rough estimate of $5 to $10 million to play around with, which I don't think they'll end up spending. So that can be used as rollover for next year in the contracts for Jalen Ramsey, Yannick Ngakoue, Miles Jack, guys like that who are about to get paid, and rightfully so. They should. Jalen Ramsey will probably be the first $100 million cornerback in the league if somebody else doesn't get it before him, but he is, look, if he can improve on this past season or play at the same level, he is looking at a payday, and give him all the money that he wants. Unfortunately, that's going to lead to likely the restructures or cutting of probably defensive tackles Malik Jackson and or Marsal Darius, but we will cross that road when we get there. This is the beginning of the 2018 season. Almost all of our major cap moves are done. I do, however, anticipate maybe wide receiver Allen Hurns being traded or cut prior to the draft. Releasing him gives you another $7 million for the cap, which you can then roll over to next year, giving you a little bit of a cushion. I just think the wide receiver room is getting too full for a guy like Hurns, who's at a very expensive price tag, signed that four-year $40 million deal a few seasons back after that really impressive 2015 season with Allen Robinson and the high flying Blake Bortles offense, which contrary to popular belief was not as much garbage time as people say, but we'll leave that on the back burner. But free agency really makes this draft interesting, because the Jaguars at 29 can almost go really in any direction they want. If there's a guard that they love that falls to 29, they could take him, maybe plug him in at the right guard spot. I know some people want to take Will Hernandez, put him at the right guard spot. I'm not a fan of moving guards or really any O-line positions, but that's an option. Quarterback is one if they either trade up or if a guy falls in their lap that they like. I still think they go tight end at 29. I think if a guy like Mike Gesicki is there at 29, you take him. Athletically, his numbers are off the charts, and you can't teach athleticism. A lot of people like to fault him because of his blocking skills, and I think they're okay. They're not the best. Draft Twitter will make fun of him because he blocks more people on Twitter than he does players in the league, and that's not a shot at Mike. That's just honestly a good joke. But I liked Mike Gesicki. Zach and I went up to Penn State this past season to scout him and a few other guys at Penn State, like linebacker Jason Kabinda, who a guy I like replacing Paz now that Paz is gone. But Gesicki, I think, is a really good tight end and will be able to create mismatches in this league, which, if you notice, some of the best offenses in the league have that tight end that can you put in the slot and it takes the linebackers out, or it just stretches the defense a little bit. And a guy like Gesicki, who runs in the 99th percentile in almost every athletic score that he had at the combine, is just somebody that you don't pass up at 29, especially if you have an Austin Seferian Jenkins who he can sit behind, mold behind, learn behind, learn the league, learn how to be a pro, and then in 2 to 3 years come out and hopefully light the league on fire, and really keep this offense having a weapon for years to come, because we can see how offenses that have that guy, New England Patriots with Rob Gronkowski, the Kansas City Chiefs with Travis Kelce, even a guy in Tampa Bay who just got paid, Cameron Brate, he just got paid after being tendered and on those rookie year deals. Just having a good tight end in this league, I think, is so important. I think it's really an undervalued position, in all honesty. The old regimes, maybe Tom Coughlin doesn't value tight ends that much, but you just see these offenses. The Eagles having Zach Ertz, just having these tight ends, I think, is so crucial. And if it were me, if I'm Dave Caldwell, Mike Gesicki's there at 29, I'm taking Mike Gesicki. And then second round, I think you do go back to the O-line. I think really Coughlin and Marone have preached this. Games are won in the trenches. And the Jaguars already had a top 10 O-line last year. They made it better with signing of Andrew Norwell. And now if you can get a good rookie right guard and plug him in at right guard, my guy is Braden Smith. If he's there at the end of the second round, or I would even trade up for him. If Braden Smith is there on the board, I think you have to take him, because he was phenomenal at Auburn at right guard. And he fits that mold that the Jaguars are trying to find in their offensive line. I think every single O-lineman now on the Jags starting O-line is 6'6", in between the weights of 315 and 325. So they obviously have a criteria, it almost looks like, for their O-lineman. And Braden Smith fits right into that. So I think if you went Gesicki at 29 and then you trade up, or you take Smith at 61, I think that is an A+ first two rounds. And then maybe you dress the backup quarterback in rounds 3 or 4. I know a guy a lot of us like, or Kyle Lauletta, if he's there, I would take him in a heartbeat. Mike White, Kurt Benkert type guys. Caldwell, in his press conference following the free agency signings, said that they have a plan. He didn't allude to whether they're young or veteran at backup quarterback, so we might have a signing in the next few days if they were to get a backup quarterback. But I think they're going to go younger, because I think that this backup is not necessarily going to come for Blake's job if he falters, but he's there if they need him. Maybe if Blake were to get hurt, they have a guy that they feel can win games. So that'll be interesting. So I think it could look Gesicki 1, Smith 2, and then a backup quarterback 3. And an idea for the draft that I was against before was drafting D-line early, but I think now I've switched gears and I'm kind of on that train as well for D-line, because you're gonna have to get rid of Malik Jackson and or Marcell Dareus in the next 2 years, which leaves two huge gaping holes in your interior D-line. So you might have to take a good D-lineman early. There's some guys like Taven Bryan, Rasheem Green. There's a lot of defensive linemen in those first four rounds, I believe, and you could take a guy like that. I don't think they're going wide receiver. I think they addressed that on purpose in free agency. And then just depth. Your biggest thing is depth, and then linebacker. Because I think DJ Hayden gives you a starter spot at corner, switching gears, but I think you might still draft a corner. Because I feel like nickel isn't as hard to find a guy compared to an outside starter. So if a guy like, let's say, let's go Gesicki in the first round, Smith in the second round. Let's say they go D-line in the third. And then a guy like Duke Dawson maybe is there at the fourth round. You get him. And then you can go D-line, linebacker, and so on in the end of that draft. Or you trade up, maybe you trade back at 29 and you stockpile a few more day two picks. That might be something that they do. This draft is really interesting because they can go in many directions compared to years past where we had glaring holes and they had to fill those holes. But that should just about do it here at Locked On Jaguars. Kind of just a free agency wrap-up draft. A draft primer, that is, the draft is 37 or 38 days away now. Zach and I will be heading over to Dallas to attend the draft and bring you guys some great content from out there. As always, follow myself on Twitter at Misto Cristofo. Proud owner of 500 plus followers now. Thank you guys for supporting me, giving me somebody to talk to ramble on and submit mock drafts. Follow the Locked On Jaguars Twitter handle at Locked On Jaguars. We're also on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, all those streaming sites at Locked On Jaguars or Locked On Jaguars, no at. And then our website, which has been doing great. We've been pumping out content on there for you guys. Like I said, Philippe's article on DJ Hayden was a phenomenal read. Go check that out. I did a film breakdown on Andrew Norwell. Went back and watched probably 70% or more of his snaps from the 2017 season. And Zach did a Dante Moncrief breakdown. So plenty of good content on LockedOnJaguars.com. We'll be back with you this week with another episode. Thanks for listening.